Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome to it. I know, you're saying, that doesn't sound like Tom Hartman. And I got to tell you, first of all, my name is Nicole Sandler. Nice to meet you. I hope the next 3 hours will be as enjoyable for you as I know they're going to be for me. I'm coming to you live from Miami, Florida. Actually, beautiful Miramar, Florida. Just a stone's throw away from Dolphin Stadium, in case you were wondering. It's a beautiful day here in South Florida, as fall here is not that different from from the late days of summer. But who cares? We're not here to talk about the weather today. First thing I got to get out of the way, though, is my great thanks to Tom Hartman for allowing me to sit in his figurative seat today. You know, he broadcasts from Portland usually, so although we're on opposite ends of the country, I'm just so honored to be here. I'm not doing a good job of spitting that out, but Tom Hartman is, as you know, you listen to him, one of the smartest men I've ever heard. How he keeps all that information in his brain is mind-boggling. And then to hear him, you know, he's an expert on ADD along with many other things. And to hear him talk about his youth and how he had so many thoughts jumbled in there. Well, I've got that part, but it's the organization of those thoughts that I sometimes have trouble with. I used to host a radio show here in Miami. These days I am podcasting and blogging daily at radioornot.com. And I've been lucky both during my time on the air here and now doing my podcast to be able to sort of pick Tom's brain. Because he's a font of knowledge, as you know. And I had a great time with him one day, and I knew I was going to have him on the next day, and I'm listening to his show, as I often do. And he was struggling with something in the Constitution. He was interviewing some expert and going toe-to-toe with him, you know, just because he knows his stuff. And he was struggling for a second, and he's like, God, there's something in the Constitution, and I can't find it, and I'm not sure exactly where it is. And and I sat back and I laughed. And the next day when I had Tom on my show, I thanked him for proving that he is human. Because sometimes you don't realize that, because the guy just is so smart and so knowledgeable. And so anyway, my great appreciation and what an honor it is to be sitting here today and guest hosting the Tom Hartman Show. Now it is Friday. I know, all right, maybe it's already a little bit of a letdown that Tom's not here. And usually on Friday at this time, you're saying, yeah, it's brunch with Bernie. And I look forward to it, too. Bernie Sanders, what another national treasure, right? But Bernie's on an airplane, and he really just brunches with Tom on Fridays. So I will do my best to fill the time, and hopefully, as I said, it'll be at least a fraction as good for you as I know it's going to be for me. The phone number, you know it well, 866-303-2270. It is Anything Goes Friday, and I've got a bunch of stuff planned and a lot of open time as well, because I want to hear from you. I want to hear what's on your mind. I want the give and take, and I know you've got as much to say as I do. Just a quick, you know, I said I'm not as smart as Tom. I don't have as much knowledge as he does. Here's what I do have. I'm a radio veteran. I've been in radio for many more years than I care to admit, but most of those years were spent doing music radio, sort of an eclectic music format. And I spent 14 of these 26, 8, almost 30 years in Los Angeles, did some in New York, some in Boston, and some here in Miami. And what I can bring to this is a passion for this country and what's going on, and the dismay in where we've gone over the last 8 years, and a thirst for knowledge, and the ability to ask the questions. So throughout the show today, we'll be speaking with Greg Palast. You know Greg Palast. His Rolling Stone article that he wrote with Bobby Kennedy in Rolling Stone, it hits the stores today. So we're going to talk about that as well as the documentary that will be out shortly called Steal Back Your Vote. Because it looks like a slam dunk for Obama. Don't be cocky. Don't be so sure. Because elections can be stolen, and they have been stolen. But we're going to start today with an area that I do have a bit of expertise in, sort of music and life. We're going to take a break a little bit early because we're going to come back on the other side with somebody you saw perform at the Democratic National Convention. You've heard her music. Hopefully you love her like I do. Melissa Etheridge joining us when we return. I am Nicole Sandler. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on Air America Radio, and thank you for joining me. It's 11 minutes after the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Fresh opinions and news you can use. This is your home for progressive talk. AirAmerica.com.
Land that I love. Ah, that is the music of Melissa Etheridge. Something that she, I thought I turned off the sounds on the AIM. You know what? I'm going to close that out because we don't want to be interrupted by that. I'm Nicole Sandler, filling in for Tom Hartman today on Air America Radio. It's my pleasure to be here with you. And I know you usually have brunch with Bernie at this time, and that wasn't possible today. So I thought I'd bring you another special treat. You just heard a little taste of Melissa Etheridge, a performance she did at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, Colorado. And I told you I come from music radio, and I've known Melissa in a professional manner for years. And I thought, you know what? She's been so active and so outspoken and does so much good, and let me see if Melissa's available. And the problem was, today is her child's birthday, and she's like, I can't do anything on the 17th. So I got Melissa on the phone yesterday, and we taped something that I will share with you here. And I started by saying, hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, sure. I wish I could help you out tomorrow, but it's my kid's birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday. Guess what? My birthday is November 4th.
Oh, cool. All good. That's a good time.
Well, you know, Ronald Reagan was elected president on my 21st birthday. So I think it's about time to go full circle and pay back now.
Oh, this is it, man.
Right? So
wow.
Barack Obama elected president on my 49th birthday. It's just
happy.
It's karma,
birthday.
Right? It's got to happen.
It's happening. It's
going
to happen.
Well, it's so good to hear from you. We spoke many times years ago in Los Angeles when I was doing music radio, and now that I find myself doing political talk and dealing, not to say that music's not important, because it's, mm-hmm. I think, vastly important in our lives, but mm-hmm. with the way the world has deteriorated, especially in the last 8 years, this is something that directly impacts each and every one of us, and we're both involved in a different way in politics, trying to affect change in the world. And you've been out there. I was thrilled to see you at the Democratic Convention performing. Mm-hmm. And you did such a magnificent medley of songs. Have you been performing? That was God Bless America, The Times They Are Changing, Give Peace a Chance, and Born in the USA. Did you do that specifically for the convention, or is that something you've been doing?
Oh, no, I've never done that before. Specifically for the convention, I felt like this was a moment in history. One, I totally felt a part of history, and that's an amazing feeling. And I hope that we can all feel that way on November 4th or before. You know, if you can get out and vote early, do it. Yet, I think we're all in the midst of history right now, and I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there not because I'm a celebrity or a musician. I wanted to be there because I am an American citizen. I'm a mother. I'm a person that is very concerned about this country. I love this country so much. It has given me... I mean, where else could a big old lesbian, you know, a woman become a rock star, you know,
uh-huh.
only in America?
Uh-huh.
And I love this country for that, and I know we can all do better. And I loved when Barack said we can do better. And that's why I showed up, and I made the medley because it wasn't about me. I didn't want to, you know, come to my window or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. I wanted to be a part of what was going on. I wanted to inspire. I wanted to try to touch upon the feelings that were there. And God Bless America, first of all, I'm just tired of people saying that the Democratic Party or liberals in general are godless. Mm-hmm. It's not true. We're very spiritual people, and we do, we have a God, and we believe in this spirit, in this God, and we want this God, this spirit, to bless America. Absolutely, you know, that came from my heart. I wanted to first pronounce that. I wanted to say we are a party with spirit. And then the times, they are changing. I wanted to remind those of us and others who are older than me that this has been going on for a while. For 40, 50 years, we've been trying to bring a peaceful change to our country and to the world. And it's the same message. It hasn't gone away. It's the same thing we've been negotiating and fighting and trying to bring this change about. And it's that's what it is. That's why I did The Times That Are Changing and mm-hmm. Give Peace a Chance. It's like, that's what we're talking about. These things didn't go away. Bob Dylan, John Lennon, those things are just as important today as they were then. And then Born in the USA, you know, we are proud. We're proud American citizens, and we know that we are making an historical change, an historical statement, electing Barack Obama to be our candidate. I wanted everyone to be able to stand there and sing Born in the USA. I was born in the USA, mm-hmm. and sing it with pride and hope.
And this time it's okay. I mean, you got to remember back in the 80s, of course, I just had Reagan elected on my 21st birthday. Yikes.
Yeah.
And he tried to hijack that song, and Bruce said, that's happening a lot this year. We're having McCain trying to use a lot of musician songs, and we're getting a lot of uh-uhs. And
I loved Ann and Nancy Wilson.
That letter was the best.
Before the convention was over, had a cease and desist on you may not use Barracuda.
And they've still done it. But I mean, I'm loving it. I'm loving that artists are using their voices to speak out. You know, I sort of bemoaned the lack of protest music over the last decade or so, because it's been absent. And you hear a lot of the Republicans saying, well, those people, they're just musicians or actors, and what right do they have to speak out? And I think, my God, these are the people who know how to use their voices to say things, to impart a message in a wonderful way, and you're the ones who should be speaking out and using your celebrity and using your talent to put forth these messages. So I love that you're doing it. I love that Bruce and Springsteen and Billy Joel are doing concerts for Obama. James Taylor just announced he's playing 5 free concerts in North Carolina to support Obama. Bob Dylan, who, you know, has always been known sort of as a political poet, I just heard had never before endorsed a presidential candidate until now, and he endorsed Barack Obama. And I love hearing this. It gives me chills.
Well, there's a feeling in the entertainment community that, yes, our job is to entertain and not to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to entertain, yet we are the mirrors of society, and we've seen our industry kind of become this fantasy industry. We have seen our industry sort of float off into this fantasy, you know, Paris Hilton, Britney Spears world. And those of us who write from our hearts and souls and from what's happening, and we are mirrors of society, we have become very alarmed. And when we saw the crucifixion of the Dixie Chicks, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, wow, this is important. And these people who have been pillars of the musical society and industry come forth and said, no, this is the single most important election in our lifetime. We're showing up and being there.
And it's so great. And it is the single most important election in our lifetimes. And the fact that, you know, no matter who was your first choice in the primary season, we have a wonderful candidate in Barack Obama. And I think, you know, just watching him last night in the debate, I was so proud. I mean, seeing comparing the two sitting side by side, it's mind blowing. And you mentioned something at the beginning of this conversation about how, you know, a lesbian can become a rock star only in America. Well, how amazing is it that America is the first country, the first Western democratically controlled country to, knock on wood, elect a black man as president, as their leader. I mean, look how far we've come in such a short time.
That's what I think we need to hold on to. Mm-hmm. We have been so fearful that we're going to just slide. We've seen the floor fall out below us in these last 8 years, and then it's filled with fear every day, just the red alert and the fear, and going, like, calling us backwards, supposed to go backward. And even through that, we have used our democracy to find what we believe to be the best candidate to bring this country forward. And it's an African American.
Mm-hmm.
And we have overcome our incredibly difficult racial divides that go back thousands of years. You know, it's just unbelievable what we pulled this fear system out by its roots and said, nope, we know this is the best guy, and that's what America is about, that you are judged by your character,
mm-hmm.
not by what you look like or your sexual preference or your religion or anything.
Right.
It's about you.
We've still got a long way to go. I mean, hearing just some of the attitudes out there, but the fact that today Barack Obama is 14 points ahead in the CBS, LA Times poll or whatever is, you know what? We can do this. I was honestly a little worried when it was apparent that he was going to be the nominee, saying, I know we've come a long way, but are we there yet?
Well, that's the fear. That's the thing that I often find myself telling people. I tell my mother, who grew up in southern Arkansas. She goes, you know, Melissa, I know people that just, they won't vote for a black man.
Mm-hmm.
I say, Mom, what's going to happen is it's like we're going through a big group therapy or something. It brings these hidden, deep, dark, irrational fears to the surface. To the surface. We have to confront it. Really, are you going to go in that polling booth knowing that the last 8 years we've slid into economic despair, into our standing in the world is just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really going to push the button for the other guy just because you can't vote for a skin color?
That's Melissa Etheridge with me, Nicole Sandler, on the Tom Hartman Show on Air America Radio. We'll be back with more.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270. Tom Hartman, Rachel Maddow, Lionel, and more. Download all of your favorite shows with Air America On Demand. Sign up now at airamerica.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program on airamerica.com.
I'm Nicole Sandler, filling in for Tom today on Air America Radio, and it's my honor and pleasure to be here. I know this hour on Fridays, we usually set aside this hour for brunch with Bernie, and we couldn't get that done. Bernie Sanders is on a plane. Tom Hartman is also traveling down to Los Angeles, and if you are in that area this weekend, a little later on, I'm going to give you all the details on where you can see Tom with some other people. He's doing, I believe, two events plus an appearance on Fox News. I kid you not. And only Tom Hartman really can, you know, he can handle it. I'd probably fly off the handle. But that being said, in lieu of Bernie Sanders, I called on somebody, who's a total opposite in many ways. She's not a politician. She is an artist. She is a musician. She is an activist. She is a mother. She is a lesbian, and she's a concerned citizen, and she's all these things. And I bring up the lesbian thing because that's how she started the conversation. Only in America could this big old lesbian become a rock star. So there you have it. Melissa Etheridge will continue the conversation with her now on the Tom Hartman Show on Air America. Tolerance. Tolerance is so important, and I'm hoping that it will, as you said, it's bringing the discussion out into the open. It's making people confront their fears and their prejudices. Even if they hadn't wanted to believe things about themselves before, it's making them stand up and take notice. Now, you're in California. I happen to be in Florida right now, and we both of our states have constitutional amendments on the ballot dealing with gay marriage. You, I believe, in California, it's Proposition 8. Here in Florida, it's Amendment number 2. a lot of times they put these things on the ballot to try to get those intolerant people out there to vote against, you know, God forbid, gay people should be allowed to marry, and then figure that they'll vote for them, the Republican candidate as well. But because so many people, I believe, are confronting these inner demons and these prejudices, maybe they're taking a step back and saying, wait a minute, what am I doing here?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And it's so sad to see, you know, the movement moving ahead and the homosexual movement, the gay movement, or whatever this is, the tolerance movement. We get these speed bumps all the time, and this is moving forward. You can't put this back in the box. You can't say equality for some. That's not the way it works. And it will eventually come to pass where gay people will get married. And I know I'm going to tell my grandchildren, oh, the old days when we were crazy. And I know that's coming, and it's hard. The change is hard. And the hateful people, the fearful people come out. The Mormon Church is pumping millions of dollars into this Proposition 8 in California. And the ads they're running, they turn my stomach. It's so sad what they're really pushing. And a lot of fearful people may come out and pass it. And you know what? But it will happen. We will have gay marriage. You know, we will have just marriage equality. It's not even gay marriage. It's just marriage equality. And, you know, that's racial equality, marriage equality. It's all coming.
I certainly hope so. I mean, here in Florida, I don't know if you remember years ago when I was still in L.A., I adopted my daughter as a single mother. I happen to be straight. It shouldn't make a difference, but here in Florida, it's one of a handful of states in the country that does not allow gay adoptions. They allow gays to be foster parents. But God forbid you, how dare you try to make it legal? Why should I be allowed to adopt, but a gay couple who can actually provide a two-parent home to a child can't? But again, I think it's sort of baby steps, and maybe we're moving in the right direction, hopefully.
Yeah, these are, it's fearful people that keeping these things in position. And you see, I mean, Massachusetts, they've had gay marriage now for how many years, and I don't see it falling into the ocean yet.
I didn't see the world explode.
Haven't met a straight couple that said it's hurt their marriage or anything.
Right? No.
These are just changes, and these are big changing times. And I have faith and hope in our country. I believe in our people, and I believe in our democracy, and I believe in our Constitution completely.
Oh, I do too, and it's great to hear you say that. You have an event coming up Wednesday night in Cleveland. When we last spoke, you were on my radio show with me in Miami. I don't know that you knew I was going to have Dennis Kucinich on as well, and I kind of did a three-way call. And you were a big supporter of Dennis's in the primary, and you're doing an evening of conversation with Dennis and Elizabeth Kucinich Wednesday, October 22nd, and all the details are on your website at melissaethridge.com, and I'll post that link on my blog at radioornot.com as well. But what's this about?
Well, thank you for that. This is about Dennis Kucinich. He is one of the most important members of Congress that we have right now. There are very few, a handful of progressive congressmen and senators out there, and so often I'm disappointed in my Democratic Party when they go to the center, when they go conservative, when they're moderate, when they vote fear.
And when they just do the right political thing rather than the right thing.
The right, exactly. When they just lay down, it makes me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis is so important to have there in Congress. He speaks the truth. He gets up. I mean, go to YouTube and just YouTube any of his little one-minute things that he gets up. Before this horrible bailout bill, he got up and he said, we are doing the wrong thing. We are being rushed. We are being threatened. I mean, he speaks the truth. And this man, we need him in the Congress to keep the truth, to keep our Democratic Party on track.
I agree. And he is being challenged with a lot of money behind these challengers. They want him out of there.
Because they know they want him out of there. It's not just about Ohio or Cleveland.
No.
It's about him in the Congress.
Yep. I know, and so it's so important, and I love that you're doing this. And again, I'll put the link on my blog at RadioOrNot.com, and again, all the information is at MelissaEtheridge.com. And if you are in the Cleveland area, it is at the Cleveland Public Theater Wednesday night, October 22nd, evening of conversation with Melissa Etheridge and Dennis and Elizabeth Kucinich. Now, you're already looking forward to the holidays. You've got a new album out, huh?
Yeah, I've got a Christmas album. It's a holiday album. It's called A New Thought for Christmas. It's along the same line as we were just speaking, you know, the sort of politics and music and spirit, it all combines into one. And this album has like five sort of standard tracks, some rock and roll, some Blue Christmas, some, you know, Baby Please Come Home, these, you know, Christmas tracks. And then I wrote some new songs with a lot of this, spirit in mind, and it's one of the reasons I wanted to do a Christmas album, because some of the things I've been, you know, since I've gone through cancer and since I've been out there the last few years, sort of this new thought that I have come to know and come to be, and it is on my album. So it's a lot of different stuff. It's sort of a Christmas album for the rest of us, outside of that sort of religiosity that gets involved sometimes, because I know people like the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always like to, you know, get caught up in all the dogma that comes around it. And the truth is, the holidays were there long before Christianity was even born. You know, we've had this holiday, the winter solstice. It, we've always celebrated it this time. So I'm trying to sort of bring that about.
Right, and embracing the peace on earth aspect of the Christmas season.
That's right. If we're talking about peace, you know, why just do a platitude of, oh, peace on earth? No, it's let's really concentrate on it. Let's spend this time of year concentrating on peace on earth. So we're actually, there's a song on it called Ring the Bells,
mm-hmm,
that I wrote with he's a Sufi Muslim from Pakistan, and his name is Salman Ahmed, and he has a band called Janoon, and they're like the U2 of the Muslim world.
Wow.
And I met him at the Nobel Peace Prize concert for Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
And we got together and we wrote this song together. And it's about peace. It's about bridging past our differences and understanding that we are human beings and we are here to take care of this earth and to throw the fear away. And once I understood the Muslim world, it's a beautiful, beautiful religion and spirituality, and yet they have their crazy fundamentalists
just like the
do.
Christian religion
just
does.
Like
Gee,
we do.
Go
yeah.
figure.
And it's the same basic hope for the world and for humankind. And we come together and we've made this song, and Deepak Chopra has adopted it with his Alliance for New Humanity, and we're going to do a Ring the Bells for Peace Day, which is December 21st. If you go to the website, ringthebellsforpeace.com, if you go to that website, you'll find that it's December 21st. It's the winter solstice. All around the world, we're going to bring Hindus and Jews and Muslims and Christians and anybody of any age and faith. We're all going to ring the bells on that day to try to bring forth unity.
And hopefully we'll have a new president then and a new beginning here in this country and try to bring us back from the abyss that we've been sunk into over the last
few
years.
We will. I think we had to go to this deep, dark bottom to know how far we have to go and what
yeah.
we have to do.
Yeah. All right, Melissa Etheridge, thank you so much for talking to me today. It's a great honor for me to sit in Tom Hartman's seat or speak
into
his
proverbial microphone. Oh, I love Tom Hartman. I'm very honored to be on his show and to be with you. And thank you to all the wonderful people that listen and are making change in the world. Keep it up. You're not alone. I know sometimes it feels that way. You're not alone. There's more of us than you know. We're making a change.
And we're going to make our voices heard on November 4th.
Yes.
Loud and clear, not only here, but around the world.
Yes, we are.
We are. Melissa Etheridge, always great to talk to you. And
thank you.
Happy birthday to your little one tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Melissa Etheridge, I recorded that interview yesterday because she was not available today as she is celebrating her child's birthday. And we moms know what's important, right? And it is 45 minutes after the hour. My name is Nicole Sandler. As you just heard me say to Melissa Etheridge, I'm thrilled to be filling in for Tom Hartman today. I want to, when we come back from this break, open up the phones. I know a lot of people lined up. You're sort of chomping at the bit to talk and ask questions and give comments. And we have more guests coming up today. We'll talk about stealing elections with Greg Palast, with Ion Sancho, he might have heard before. I've got this Republican congressman that I'm going to convince to vote for Obama, too, but your call's next on Air America Radio.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Fresh opinions and news you can use. This is your home for progressive talk. AirAmerica.com. Now, back to the Tom Hartman Program on AirAmerica.com.
It is 10 minutes before the hour. My name is Nicole Sandler, filling in for Tom Hartman today. Tom is off in L.A. If you are in the area, you can see him tonight at 7 o'clock. Tom's speaking and doing a book signing at the Democratic headquarters in the San Fernando Valley. The website for more info is DPSFV, DP, Democratic Party, San Fernando Valley, the DPSFV.com for more info. On Sunday, he'll be taking part in a debate from 2 to 4 p.m. at the American Jewish University in Bel Air's Gindi Auditorium. I'll put info on my blog at radioornot.com with all this, all the places you can see Tom if you happen to be in Los Angeles this weekend. And tomorrow, no matter where you are, at 4:20 in the afternoon Eastern, he's going to be on Fox News. That alone is worth the price of admission. All right. I blog at radioornot.com. Again, I'll have links to things and whatever we talk about today on the show up there at some point this afternoon. I hope you'll check it out. I do a daily podcast there as well. But right now I want to talk to you. The number is 866-303-2270. And let's go to the phones. First up, well, let's go to Tom's hometown, Portland, Oregon, and say hello to Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the Tom Hartman Show.
Hi. Thanks a lot. Following up on what Melissa Etheridge said, I was a Kucinich Democrat, and I think Obama is just too far removed from almost all of Kucinich's positions to support. So
well,
I'm saying,
but here you've got two choices, right?
No, we got more choices than that.
Well, but you don't. Realistically, you have two choices: either Barack Obama or John McCain is going to be president of the United States for the next 4 years. All right, and you got to look at it in those terms. And in fact, coming up, Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm glad Obama has a 14-point lead. It would benefit our democracy if the Green Party could score about 5%. Vote McKinney.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is a topic we are going to touch on for the bulk of the show today, which is stealing the election. In today's, the new issue of Rolling Stone, which hits newsstands today, there's a story written by Greg Palast and Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
Greg Palast will join us in the beginning of the third hour today about stealing, the website is stealbackyourvote.org. Do not get complacent. Do not think we've got this thing beat. I don't care what the polls are showing. You can't take anything for granted.
Well,
you know what? And what the Green Party needs to do is come November 5th, get their butts together and really, you know, be around more than just at election time.
What the Green Party needs to do is get a new presidential debate commission, which isn't controlled by the two major parties, which is a private corporation, which is funded by the Fortune 500 companies, is what the Green Party needs to do.
I agree with you. What happened to the League of Women Voters?
They were kicked out by the Democrats and Republicans in 1987.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Is a two-party system perfect? Not you know, as far as I can throw it. No, but that's what we have now, and that's what we need to deal with for this election cycle. Come November 5th, go for it. Get those Greens organized and get them to make a difference. We need them. We need them. Was Barack Obama my first choice? No. But you know what? I think he'll make a great president. And you look at the two major candidates, and one of those two is going to be president. And we need to do everything we can to make sure Barack Obama is elected and to make sure John McCain and the Republicans can't steal this election. I appreciate the call, Marty. Thanks for calling. Let's move to, well, right down the street here and talk to Ray in Hollywood, Florida. Hi, Ray. You're on the Tom Hartman Show with Nicole Sandler.
Hello, Nicole. This is Gregory in Hollywood, and we really miss you in our morning show in the morning, and I wanted to make a comment here as far as corporate media, and see what happens. I mean, you speak out of line, you speak against what they call the mainstream, and people disappear. They get fired, they get labeled. They just get pushed aside. Look at your relationship with Clear Channel, what happened down here. It's just a horrible situation. And in my opinion, as long as we get this media, the way they're functioning, not in order, we will never have a democracy in this country because there's no discussion or investigations or anything anymore. And I'm really, really upset about that.
Well, you know, Tom often refers to it as the corporate media as opposed to the mainstream media. There's nothing mainstream about the media. Media is controlled by big corporations. And not to talk about my situation because that's got nothing to do with this situation here today. But the deal is when there are fewer voices out there, and this is what consolidation did, that makes fewer voices heard on the airways. When fewer companies control the media outlets, they are controlling what gets out to the people. Now, that being said, what's happening now is a major seismic shift, and it's going to be slowly, but away from terrestrial radio, as they say, and to the Internet, away from over-the-air television and to the Internet. And as long as we can keep the Internet free and equal, and watch out for those who want to create tiered levels of service, and that's something that hopefully Tom will do a show on. Hopefully I'll get another chance to be back here and really look into. We need to make sure that the Internet can become the great equalizer and so that all voices can be heard. That's what we need to do. And I hate to say it, consolidation in media, you know, the fact that Clear Channel owns 1,200 radio stations, we can trace that right back to Bill Clinton. Now, I like Bill Clinton for a lot of things he did, but that was a huge, huge error in his judgment in terms of deregulation that I think really hurt the broadcasting industry and lessened the amount and quality of voices that we hear in this country. All right. Well, quickly, we got time for one more before the break. Oliver in Burton, Michigan. Good morning. Hi. You're on the Tom Hartman Show.
Hello. I'm an elderly white male, and I'm just outraged by the just terrible attacks that are being made against Obama. You know, try to link in him with Ayers and Bin Laden and all these kind of things going on. Now that's the newest tack. And, you know, I remember back to Joe McCarthy, who was a senator, and he did guilt by association. That was his famous thing, and he ruined life after life after life. And the last thing is, this reminds me the where most of this is coming from, of the old Confederate South, which twisted Christianity to say that blacks weren't any good at all and lynched many, many people that didn't agree with them, and kept their middle-class whites down and pregnant and ignorant.
I agree with you. It's truly despicable. And the level of discourse that this campaign, the McCain campaign, has sunk to, he should be ashamed of himself. Especially what was done to him in 2000 by the Bush campaign. He should be ashamed of himself. All right. We need to take a break. It's that time of the hour. I'm Nicole Sandler in for Tom Hartman on Air America Radio. More coming up. Thanks for joining us today.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. This is the Tom Hartman Program on AirAmerica.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after the hour as we enter into round two of the Tom Hartman Show for this Friday. I'm Nicole Sandler, thrilled to be filling in for Tom today. It's an honor and a pleasure, and I'm enjoying speaking with you on the phones, and we'll do a lot more of that today. But I want to go back for a second to a caller we took in the last segment, a caller who said, you know, Obama's ahead by 14 points. I want to see the Green Party get at least 5 percentage points here. And the key here is, as Tom does say often, don't be complacent. Don't be overconfident here, because nothing is done until every ballot is counted, and hopefully every ballot will be counted. And you do know that history repeats itself, right? You know that. Just look at the last two presidential elections. And if that doesn't scare you and make you realize that just because we're voting for Obama, just because all the polls show that he's going to win, even if the polls show that this is going to be a landslide, things can change. Votes can get switched. There are a couple of documentaries. The first one I saw featuring our next guest came out, I want to say, 2 to 3 years ago, and it's called Hacking Democracy. And Ayan Sancho is the Leon County, Florida, Supervisor of Elections. He has no party affiliation. Leon County is the area of Florida that encompasses Tallahassee. Not the most progressive part of Florida. It's northern Florida. Different, really, different part of the country than South Florida, where I'm coming to you from. But Ion Sancho is bound and determined to make sure that every vote is counted and counted honestly. Now, you know, that is not what a lot of people on the right want. In fact, I'm going to play for you, before I bring Ion Sancho on, just a very short piece of audio. And this was actually recorded, oh, if I can find my notes, back in 1980, I believe, by Paul Weyrich, who's sort of the father of the conservative movement. And he was talking to a gathering of evangelicals. And, you know, our thought is everybody should vote. We want every vote to count. We want every person to get out there and vote. But that's not how they think. Listen to what Paul Weyrich had to say.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote.
Right.
I don't want everybody to vote.
Huh?
Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
All right. So that is their strategy. Disqualify as many voters as possible from voting. Throw out as many ballots as you can. Make sure that those people out there can't vote. Throw up as many obstacles as you can. And that's not even talking about the, you know, hacking into electronic voting machines to alter the outcome. So Ion Sancho, I first became acquainted with him from this film, Hacking Democracy. Well, there is a new documentary that just came out in which Mr. Sancho is also featured pretty prominently, called Stealing America Vote by Vote. And this is the main issue today. I don't care how far ahead in the polls Barack Obama is. If you're going to get complacent and think, he's got it won, we don't have to worry about it, then you couldn't be more wrong. So that being said, I want to welcome Ion Sancho to the Tom Hartman Show. Hi, Ion. I keep going good afternoon, but I realize on the West Coast, it's a national thing. You know, it's still morning there. So greetings.
Well, greetings and good day to you and your listeners.
It's good to speak with you again. We've spoken a number of times over the last few years, but I did get to watch the new documentary, Stealing America, Vote by Vote. And it's a documentary, and when I finished watching it, after I picked my jaw up off the floor, I said, wow, that's a horror film.
Well, it is. One reviewer, Martin Grove, who reviewed it for a major publication, said, this is the scariest film of the year. Don't worry about slasher films. Don't worry about science fiction films or monster films. This film is the scariest film of the year.
I agree. And don't wait till Halloween to watch it, because I really think this is, you know, there are screenings all over the place, and we'll give the, in fact, what is the link to Stealing America Vote by Vote?
Well, you can go to www.stealingamericathemovie.org or stealingamerica.org, and that'll get you to the sites. And the film was done by Dorothy Fadiman, who's an Emmy and Oscar-nominated film director. And she, in 2004, came to Florida as an election observer and was disturbed by two things. One was that when she was trained by the individuals that were putting out the observers, they told her that there had been reports of vote flipping on the equipment. And secondly, she was told by the individuals training her not to talk about it to anybody. They didn't want to scare the voters.
Right. Well, you know, one burning question I had after watching this film, which really looked at the 2004 election, was in the exit polling. Now, the company, and the name escapes me, I don't take good notes, I was a bad student, but the company that does the exit polling has their results. And as the actual election returns were coming in and we're seeing that they're exactly flipped, instead of saying there's a problem here and the votes seem to be flipped from the results of our exit polls, which polls people after they voted. So you say to them, how did you just vote? And they tell you there's not much room for error there. And we're seeing the exact opposite in the results, in the actual voting returns when they're coming in. What they do instead is just modify their data to match the results that they're getting from the polling places?
Yeah, it's pretty good. If a college student would do that, the professor would flunk them immediately. But in fact, what this is a process in which historically the polls, the exit polls, have been relatively accurate since the 1960s through this past election decade. And all of a sudden now, the exit polls do not match. And in fact, generally, the exit polls are flip-flopped. And instead of doing any kind of investigation on this, this has been sort of swept under the rug. And as many states actually, like Florida, do not actually do audits of the elections to ascertain the validity of the machine results, you really are left with absolutely no way to confirm that the numbers are actually what they are in the current system that we pretty much use nationwide in the United States of America.
You know, if it wasn't so scary, you would have to laugh. I mean, if somebody wrote this as a movie and it wasn't reality, you'd say, that's too unbelievable.
Well, it really gets to the heart of the question of how can we justify going around to other countries telling them how to make and operate a democratic system when in this nation all of the reputable studies indicate that we eliminate on purpose anywhere between 2 to 4 million voters every major election, and most Americans, unfortunately, are not aware of this. The election officials don't notify in many jurisdictions the fact that voters, we've thrown your vote out and didn't count it. They don't do that because they're afraid of the reaction that would come from the American public if the American public would realize how little their vote is being valued in the American electoral process.
Mm-hmm. And just judging from that call I took in the last segment, where someone said, "Oh, you know, Obama's 14 points ahead, so you know, let's give the Green Party some votes." That if you want, you know, if you don't want John McCain in the White House, and I know you have no party affiliation, that's not what your objective is here. Your objective is to make sure every vote counts and make sure they're counted accurately. Do I have that right?
That is correct because, again, I became an election official in 1988 because 2 years earlier, in 1986, the supervisor of elections negligently programmed the voting machines accidentally, and that meant that 5,000 Leon Countyans went to vote and were turned away from the polls. Now, I had always assumed, as most Americans had, that when I had voted, my vote got counted, and I never gave a second thought to it. After my experience in Leon County in 1986, I realized that not only was my assumption wrong, but I had a responsibility, once I became aware of the problem, to do something about it. So I ran for and captured the post. It's an elected position here in Florida, of supervisor of elections for Leon County. And I proceeded then to introduce technology and procedures to ensure that the largest percentage of my voters would be counted. And the truth of the matter came to light in the 2000 election when in an election in which 112,000 voters in the state of Florida cast overvotes and had their votes disqualified in that manner.
Right, and we even had that happen in the Tampa area in the last congressional election.
Yes,
yes. You know, Florida has become, and we are coming to you today from Florida. I'm in Miami. Ion Sancho is in Tallahassee. But Florida is the laughingstock of the voting world. I mean, this was ground zero of the 2000 debacle. And you, because you are above reproach, you were selected to basically oversee the recount in Miami-Dade County. Do I have that right?
Yes, you have it correct.
But they stepped in and stopped the recount before you could do it.
That is correct. We were in the middle of counting the disputed ballots from Miami-Dade when the United States Supreme Court shut it down. I was able, though, to examine hundreds of those ballots, and I will tell you there are thousands of votes in Florida that were never counted, and to this day, I consider it one of the greatest shames of the United States Supreme Court that they, in a 5-4 vote, in a complete disregard of every kind of precedent that the Supreme Court had ever had, prevented a state, Florida, in 2000, from legitimately counting their votes according to the state law. They did it with malice aforethought. I've read those opinions. And it's absolutely clear to me that not only did we lose the right to vote in 2000, but given the current direction of this United Supreme Court, as soon as this election is over, I would hope Americans join me and other organizations in a call for a 28th Amendment to end the political chicanery which justifies in some partisans' minds their ability to not count voters' votes because it gives advantage to their opponents. That's what I'm seeing in the United States of America today across the board. We have people in this political process, and we all can see that with our own eyes, who would do anything to win, whether it's the vote rigging, the telephone rigging scandal in New Hampshire in the Sununu race,
mm-hmm.
we see, or the vote caging that is currently underway around the country.
We're going to talk to Greg Palast about that in the next hour. Because
it's a scandal because, you know, while all of this talk today is being generated by the Republican National Committee and partisans concerning vote fraud.
Right,
with,
and Acorn,
with the issue of Acorn.
Is there such a thing as voter fraud, or is it election fraud that we need to be concerned about?
You need to be concerned about election fraud, and voters are not the ones doing it. Voters
exactly.
are not the ones doing it. You can talk to election officials all across the country. That's one of the things that's disappointed me by the mainstream media coverage of this. They've not actually called in practitioners. Kurt Browning, for example, who's the Secretary of State in Florida, and Kurt and I have many different issues that
and
we don't agree
Republican.
On, and he's a Republican working for a Republican governor, Charlie Crist,
mm-hmm.
has absolutely, he and I are on the same page on this. There is no incidence of any kind of organized election fraud going on in the United States at the voter registration level, because these issues of voter registration where you come up with fake individuals like Mickey Mouse or Tony
mm-hmm.
Romo, guess what? They never show up to the vote at
of
the polls and
not.
Vote.
Of course not. Ion Sancho is with us here on the Tom Hartman Show on Air America Radio. I'm Nicole Sandler in for Tom today. We'll be back with more with Ion Sancho in just a moment.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Fresh opinions and news you can use. This is your home for progressive talk. AirAmerica.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program on AirAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program for this Friday afternoon, October 17th. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live from Miami, Florida, where I host a daily podcast and blog at RadioOrNot.com. I hope you'll check it out. On the phone with me is Ion Sancho. He is the Leon County, Florida Supervisor of Elections, featured in a new documentary called Stealing America Vote by Vote. And all he cares about, which is a big all, is making sure every vote counts. Now, Ion, you were, for the movie Hacking Democracy, which is where I first became acquainted with you, you actually were in on an experiment, bringing in somebody who worked with computers to see how easy or difficult it would be to flip the votes, to hack the voting machines and skew the results the way they wanted them. And briefly, what did you find out?
Well, let me tell you that the voting machine vendors conduct the elections. Private voting machine vendors tabulate the votes in many jurisdictions. We have essentially privatized and outsourced our elections. Public officials don't control the process. Secretary of States don't control the process of voting tabulation. Private companies do. And private companies for years have been saying, buy our equipment, it's safe and secure, you can trust us, buy our equipment. The equipment has become increasingly expensive, and what we finally ended up doing in Leon County was we were challenged by journalists that were from Great Britain
mm-hmm.
to test whether or not the actual voting equipment that we're using in Leon County and have used for many years was actually secure. The equipment leaves the votes of as it reads ballots on an electronic card, not unlike, for example, the kind of electronic chip that digital cameras leave
mm-hmm.
their pictures on. Well, these cards were not readable by election officials. You basically had to trust the company that the system couldn't be rigged or preloaded with false votes.
Yeah, and if you believe that, I got some land too far west of where I'm sitting right now.
Unfortunately, most election officials are not experts, and these companies are the only ones that supply their voting equipment, and by many state laws, we're actually required to use them, and there's no such thing as competition in the field. But what happened was that in 2004, the Diebold company had been found guilty of lying to election officials in Alameda, California. Now, I used their equipment, and having the company did not notify me of their actions in the state of California. I read about it on the internet that they had to pay the state of California $2.6 million mm-hmm. judgment for failing to provide truthful and correct answers to election
right.
officials.
You know, Ion Sancho, I'm so sorry to cut you off, but we are, you know, we're slaves to the clock here, and we're running out of time.
Well, we did the test then.
Yes.
And the test showed that, in fact, the companies were not correct, that the equipment could be for inside access, load votes that the election official would not even know would be there. The numbers they would be providing to the public would be completely false, and the election official would not have a clue.
Right, and they claim it's proprietary information, the code. It is not open code, and too bad for you, and too bad for your election, because we can skew the results any way we want, and that's why people need to watch Stealing America vote by vote. Go to stealingamerica.org. Ion Sancho, thank you for joining me today on the Tom Hartman Show on Air America.
My pleasure, Nicole.
Bye-bye. We'll talk again soon. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270. This is your home for progressive talk. AirAmerica.com. Now, back to the Tom Hartman Program on AirAmerica.com.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows, anything goes. Good authors, too, who once knew better words, now only use forever words, writing prose. Anything goes.
Oh, yeah, that means it's your turn. I'm Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com, happily filling in for Tom Hartman today. All the details on where he's at in Southern California this weekend, doing a couple of appearances, along with Fox News tomorrow afternoon at 4:20, I'll put up on my blog at RadioOrNot.com. But right now, it's us, and it's your turn. I do want to hear from you. The number is 866-303-2270. I got to tell you, at the debate the other night, I got a few good belly laughs. Bob Schieffer did a great job. I thought it was the best debate of all four, including the vice presidential debate, that we've seen, substantive-wise, if that's a word. But there were also some great moments of humor, all right? For instance, the question about how your vice presidential candidate is more qualified to be president than your opponents, should something, God forbid, happen to you. If Saturday Night Live doesn't do a bit around that question tomorrow night, then they need new writers. But then there was this little bit of non-wisdom from John McCain.
We need to know the full extent of Senator Obama's relationship with Acorn, who is now on the verge of maybe perpetrating one of the greatest frauds in voter history in this country, maybe destroying the fabric of democracy.
What the hell is he talking about? This whole Acorn thing is nothing more than a diversion, taking your eye off the ball, knowing that votes can be switched and stolen. It is election fraud. It is not voter fraud. There is no such thing as voter fraud. It is non-existent, and we'll talk with Greg Palast about that in the next hour. All right, let's go to the phones, and right here in my own backyard, Brian in Miami, Florida. Hi, you're on the Tom Hartman Show with Nicole Sandler.
Hey, how you doing, Nicole?
Great, thank you.
I just got to say, this has been, it's an honor to be on the radio with you. I got to say, this is the first year that I've really gotten really involved with democracy in my area. This is the first year I ever volunteered to be a poll worker. And I got to say, this is just such a disingenuous attack on Acorn and on voter registration. When we accept people at the polls, people basically have to jump through hoops to get their vote in. They've got to turn in IDs. They've got to give a signature. Their signature has to match. And for any little thing, you can have your vote disputed and you can be handed a provisional ballot, which is as good as having it thrown away.
That's right. It is. And well, I played you the audio from Paul Weyrich before. Here's one of the main differences between the strategies of the Republicans and the Democrats. Democrats want everyone to be able to vote. Even if you're going to vote for the other guy, they want everyone to be able to exercise that right and have their vote counted. Even if you're going to vote for McCain, it doesn't matter. They want you to be able to vote as it should be. The Republicans want to disqualify as many of those people who aren't going to vote their way as possible. And that's what this Acorn thing is all about.
Absolutely. I agree. And it should be embarrassing. You know, the big media people that are running this 24/7, the Lou Dobbs of the world, the Hannitys of the world, who are sitting there smearing a group that does very little other than protect poor people, protect the interests of the poor. And they're smearing them, calling them extremist groups, radicals, domestic cultural terrorists. It's ridiculous.
It's truly despicable. And John McCain should be ashamed of himself. Hey, Brian, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. The number is 866-303-227. We're going to go to line four. Yeah, I'm here in Miami. I got to tell you how wonderful this is. We've got Sean Taylor, who's Tom Hartman's executive producer in Portland, Chris Rosen at the controls in New York, along with Stephanie answering the phones also in New York, where they're playing the music. You see how this all comes together? It's so cool. So, Stephanie, it's Flo and Sunrise. All right, on line four. Hi, Flo.
Hi, Nicole.
Yes.
I can't tell you how much I miss you. You know.
Well, thank you. I miss you guys, too. It's great to hear from you. So,
you're wonderful.
Thank you.
I never had a chance to tell you how terrific you were. You put together one hell of a show, and I just enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. RadioOrNot.com is where you can find me and listen to the podcast and all that stuff. So.
Where?
RadioOrNot.com.
RadioOrNot.com?
You got it.
Okay. I went to turn my radio on, and they had Tom's previous show on.
Okay. What are you calling about today?
WINZ. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, the last election we had,
mm-hmm.
my husband went to vote at the same polling place we've had almost 8 years now, and they said his driver's license was invalid. So.
But it's him. It's got his name. It shows that that is who this person is.
They said his birth date was invalid, not his license, but you know, the whole thing is so sickening because my husband's 68 years old. That's the same birth date he's had for 68 years, now 69.
That's the thing. They are, you know, they wanted to... They have, and here in Florida, they have instituted even tougher new rules this year where they will try to run all new registrations through the Social Security rolls and the driver's license rolls. And if one thing is a mismatch, even down to a hyphen in a name or a, you know, I live on a something terrace, but if it came up as Lane, that's enough for them to disqualify my vote. That is what they want to do.
They don't take care of our Social Security numbers.
By
the thousands, they're always being lost or...
Mm-hmm.
stolen or what.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If this was happening to the Republicans, they'd be whining and crying. They wouldn't let us get away with it. But this is going on our third presidential election, Nicole. We pay our taxes. We want the right to vote. And these creeps like Joe the plumber,
mm-hmm.
he makes 40, I heard. But if he made 250, they don't want to be pay 2,000 more. Well, guess what? They've had it their way for 8 years. And we can't even vote. We can't.
Yeah.
Our guy in the White House, and they're ticked off about a lousy $2,000 when they make $250,000. Give me a break. These people are so greedy and selfish.
I got you. Flo, thank you for calling. Again, do check out Radio or Not, like Ready or Not, but RadioOrNot.com, well, one word, and a good way to keep in touch. And thank you for calling today. Nicole Sandler here, in for Tom Hartman. The number is 866-303-2270. Flo brought up Joe the Plumber, who became a bit of a celebrity thanks to John McCain. But even that shows how John McCain just does not think sometimes and how he surrounds himself with probably the wrong people because they clearly didn't vet this guy whose name John McCain invoked 22, 24, 26 times during the debate. First of all, this guy, Joe the Plumber, Joe Wurzelbacher, not only does he make less than $250,000 a year and will, even if he buys this company, because you're talking about net, not gross, he will make out better under the Obama plan. But on top of that, there's a story in Politico today, and I'll link to it on the blog. He owes a whole bunch of back taxes. He is not the up-and-up, you know, great citizen that should be held up as an example to everybody. Not only that, Joe the Plumber is related through marriage to none other than Charles Keating. It is so absurd, I couldn't make it up if I wanted to. But yes, you do know John McCain was one of the Keating Five. John McCain's relationship with Charles Keating should be right out there because this goes directly to his character. And Joe the Plumber is related to Charles Keating. All right. Haven't really seen that covered in the corporate media, but hopefully we will. All right. Back to the phones. Jeff in Tacoma, Washington. Good afternoon. You're on with Nicole on the Tom Hartman Show.
Hey, Nicole. I'm so glad Tom picked you to work for him today. You're obviously a very compassionate progressive, and that's the best kind. So
well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Ian Sancho is my hero, by the way. If anybody has HBO, they can go on demand and watch Hacking Democracy this month for free. So please.
That's great to know. You need to. You must watch this movie.
Invite some friends over, the neighbors, watch that film. It's really critical that we know what we're up against. And there was a caller last hour who was maybe a member of the Green Party who wanted to make a statement. And I voted for Nader in 2000, hoping to get the Green Party their 5%. And what people maybe have forgotten, and, you know, it's fine if you want to throw a protest vote if you really don't think the Democratic Party is going to be free of corporate influence, whatever. But if you think the Green Party is going to get their 5% this year, you are totally insane. I've followed Cynthia McKinney's rise for the last 2 years, hoping that she'd make it, hoping that, you know, maybe things would work out and she would really make a big splash.
Mm-hmm.
But the media hasn't covered her at all. There's absolutely no way that she's going to match what Nader did in 2000 with those huge rallies and college students and everything. Barack Obama is such a transformative leader. He is such a new FDR. You know, he's the kind of guy that can bring all these different factions into a room and hammer out a decision that actually works for people. That the natural constituency for the Green Party or independents, it's gone.
Yeah,
and,
no, I agree with you. And
the vote, you know, if you want to protest, that's fine, but you really should consider, especially if you're in a swing state, voting for somebody that can actually make a difference and save lives.
And that's the bottom line. And again, knowing that the margins have to be so huge so that they can't flip the votes, so that they can't pull
really
this
important.
Shenanigans, right?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you're making that point today, because if we all go out, regardless of what we think of the Democratic Party, and vote, if it's stolen again, then we can have our peaceful revolution and green things can happen. But it's not going to happen by voting for somebody that doesn't win.
No, I agree with you. And you know what? Great. Come November 5th, go all out for the Green Party. But do
absolutely.
This. And impress upon them how important it is that they're there every year and every month, day in and day out, working to build their party. Because when they just surface at around election time, well, that's not how you affect change. You need to build from the bottom up and really build a movement. And it doesn't just happen on presidential election years. It doesn't
absolutely.
Work that way.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, Kurt, thank you. So, is this Kurt that I'm talking to? Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate the call and the kind words. Oh, it's Jeff. I was talking to Jeff. All right. It's Nicole Sandler in for Tom Hartman today. 866-303-2278. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side and keep this going, because I'm having too much fun with you. In the next hour, we'll speak with Greg Palast more about stealing votes and how this happens and making sure your registration doesn't get thrown out. All right? More on the Tom Hartman Show with Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio. Thank you for listening.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Fresh opinions and news you can use. This is your home for progressive talk. AirAmerica.com.
And our best insight yet is who you picked as your running mate. So I'll begin by asking both of you this question. And I'll ask you to answer first, Senator Obama. Why would the country be better off if your running mate became president rather than his running mate?
I'm sorry. I lost it. As I was watching the debate that night and I first saw where Bob Schieffer was going with this, the chuckle started. And how Barack Obama held his composure and didn't completely fall down and pee in his pants, I have no idea. And if Saturday Night Live tomorrow doesn't do something with this question, then they've blown their biggest opportunity yet. The news just came across the computer that Sarah Palin will be on Saturday Night Live tomorrow. And just a word of advice from me to Tina Fey, don't hold back. Tina Fey, who said that if McCain Palin get elected, she'll leave the planet. Oh, come on, Tina. I hope you're there, and I hope you give her, you know, give it all you got. Because she deserves it. I'm sorry. If you're going to put yourself out there, then you got to take the hits. And that means doing press conferences, right? Why hasn't she yet answered questions at a press conference? Why doesn't she appear on the Sunday morning talking head shows? Have not seen that yet, have we? I'm Nicole Sandler, thrilled to be in for Tom Hartman today, filling in for him while he's off doing some stuff, a couple of appearances in California. I'll post all the information. I'm sure it's on his page at tomhartman.com. I'll also put it on my blog at radioornot.com. Right now, let's get back to the phones. Kurt in Federal Way, Washington. Hi, you're on the Tom Hartman Show with Nicole.
Hi, good morning to you. So I just wanted to follow up on a couple earlier points here, especially your previous caller, the topic of the Green Party. Definitely their ideas need to be heard.
Yeah, but more than just right around election time. They need to do it 24/7, you know, 12 months out of the year.
Okay, well, I agree. And if you'll let me get to my point.
Okay.
Their points need to be heard, but exactly what you're saying is what needs to occur, is we need to be organizing all year, every year. And, you know, with the Obama campaign, I myself and many other people came into the Democratic Party here in Washington State, and this is what we're setting up to do here. And I have the feeling that, you know, if people get into the Democratic Party as PCOs, because we need to start talking in the neighborhoods, and the Democratic Party has the structure, and there's some good people and there's some idiot people in the Democratic Party, there's no doubt about that, but as Tom said earlier, infiltrate, heck, take over the Democratic Party, and we can start taking those congressional and Senate representatives that, you know, are not really Democrats and start moving things to the left.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm all for it. But you know what? Right now, we've got to focus everything on November 4th and making sure John McCain is not elected. And the only way to do that is to make sure every vote counts. And if the polls are true, if what we're seeing in the polls are real, we need to make sure that's reflected. And that, you know, that's the thing that got me most about this movie I was talking to Ion Sancho about, Stealing America. You can see stealingamerica.org, is the way the exit polls, the company just modifies their data to match what they're getting from the results. There's something inherently wrong there, and why there's not an enormous outcry and people are calling for investigations left and right. I don't understand it. That's got to be looked into. For the company to say, well, all right, we poll people right after they vote and ask them how they voted. But when the results aren't matching what we found, we'll just switch our results. It's asinine, Mark, in Daytona, Florida. I'm sorry. I got a lot of calls and so little time, but I appreciate your call. Let's go to Mark in Daytona. Hi, you're on the Tom Hartman Show.
Hi, I just want to be real quick. You made the comment about Acorn is there to help the poor.
First of all, I didn't say that. I said Acorn is out in the community, and what they were doing is registering voters. And what they found is that, you know, they paid people to go out and register voters. And while some of the workers may have ulterior motives and want to register more Democrats, and they tend to go into places where people haven't historically registered, and that tends to be in poorer areas.
Yeah, right, right.
Blacker areas.
They don't go into areas where that's historically. They don't go into the suburbs to register them.
You're right.
They go into the poor neighborhoods and hand them a cigarette and a dollar bill if they'll sign up.
You're right.
Talk about exploiting the poor. You don't see Acorn in the suburbs handing out dollars.
No, but they're trying to get into the neighborhoods and reach the people who don't historically vote or participate in the process.
Ma'am, people in rich neighborhoods don't historically vote, but you don't see Acorn in the suburbs doing it. You see them in the poor neighborhoods. Now, Obama's campaign, their donation of $80,000 to Acorn, which goes into the poor neighborhoods, handing out cigarettes and dollar bills.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, you want a dollar sign this piece of paper? Don't you think a dude who's out of work will do that in a poor neighborhood?
Absolutely, but
whether
guess what? If he signs up,
he's going to vote or not.
Okay, but Mark, if he signs up and fills out the form as Mickey Mouse, he's not going to show up on election day and try to vote.
Exactly.
He'll take the dollar and take the cigarette and say, see ya.
A legitimate organization? So the guy signing people up will accept Mickey Mouse?
But
he doesn't even know.
But it's not up to him to accept it. If the person fills out the voter registration form, hold on. Now let me answer. The Acorn, excuse me, the Acorn representative is required to turn that in. Now when Acorn put their stuff together, they even separated out. Obviously these are bogus. And those are real, and they even showed it to the election people here. Obviously, this stack is no good, but it's not up to them to throw them out. That's up to the supervisor of elections office, not up to the Acorn workers. What they are paid to do is go out and register people to vote. If the people choose to take the dollar and the cigarette and fill out a bogus form with no intention of ever showing up on election day, that's that person's problem. The Acorn worker is still doing what they need to do. By the same token, the Acorn worker might just be saying, hey, if I get paid for as many forms as I can turn in, I don't care if they're real or not. I need to make a couple of dollars. I need to pay my rent and feed my kid. So I'll just fill out some bogus forms also. Those people are not going to show up and try to vote. That's a hell of a lot less nefarious than somebody going in the middle of the night and trying to switch your votes and tamper with the cards so that your votes are flipped. That's the problem, and we'll talk about it on the other side with Greg Palast when we continue on the Tom Hartman Show on Air America Radio.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. This is the Tom Hartman Program on AirAmerica.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back for round three of the Tom Hartman Show on this Friday. Well, afternoon on the East Coast. I'm Nicole Sandler coming to you from Miami, Florida, in the studios of 940 Winds, where I podcast and blog daily at radioornot.com. And it's my pleasure to be here for you, and a great honor, too. Tom Hartman is one of my idols, one of the smartest men I have the pleasure to learn from on a daily basis, and I'm just thrilled to be here, to be able to speak with you today and reach out, you know, across the boundaries, across the country, and not only speak with listeners, but speak with others whose work and opinions I admire. And one of those such people happens to be on the phone. I've spoken with Greg Palast numerous times on my radio show before, and a good reason to talk to Greg today, a number of good reasons. So first, let me welcome Greg Palast back to the Tom Hartman Show. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Nicole. Glad to be with you.
Well, your story in Rolling Stone magazine, one of a number of projects that you've been collaborating with Bobby Kennedy on,
yep.
The Rolling Stone issue hits the newsstands today,
yep.
with a very, very interesting article, Block the Vote, Will the GOP's Campaign to Deter New Voters and Discard Democratic Ballots Determine the Next President? And
yeah.
This is something we've all got to be concerned about. Now, this has been sort of a thread running through all 3 hours of the show today.
Yep.
You know, I got a call earlier in the first hour from someone who said, well, Obama's 14 points ahead in the polls. Let's give the Green Party their 5% that they need. And I said, no, because that's not a big enough margin to ensure a victory, because votes are stolen. Elections are stolen.
Yeah, why does someone who thinks they're voting for the Green Party think that their vote's going to count? Look, I don't care who you vote for. Vote for, you know, green, blue, purple, your choice. Here's the problem. Bobby Kennedy and I for Rolling Stone, we're investigating, are they going to steal back the vote? You know, people know me, from the Hartman Show, from your show, Nicole, as the guy that investigated, you know, whether black people were thrown off the voter rolls in Florida. They were.
And here we are in Florida again, yeah, ground zero.
Ground zero again.
Mm-hmm.
And, so the question was, are they going to steal the election? Bobby did the analysis for Rolling Stone of the 2004 shoplifting, and the answer was, no, they're not going to steal it. Don't relax now. The answer is, they've already stolen it, and that's what we're reporting in Rolling Stone today. And I'll tell you how they're doing it, but I want to give you the good news before the bad, which is
okay. You
can, when they're stealing your vote, you can steal it back. So as a result, So Bobby and I got together and have written something as important as the Rolling Stone story. We've written an investigative comic book, Steal Back Your Vote, which is now in print form. You can download it at steelbackyourvote.org. It is sponsored by the incredible Tom Hartman.
Mm-hmm.
So
and,
Hartman, Bobby Kennedy, Greg Ballas special, Steal Back Your Vote.
Uh-huh.
Download the comic book at stealbackyourvote.org for a penny or any donation you want.
And I have it in front of me right now, and you did a
physical
wonderful
copies.
Job.
Yeah, we have physical copies as well, which you can get in bulk to hand out, especially if you're in places like Florida, Colorado, New Mexico, not just because they're swing states, but they are ground zero states for vote theft. And let me give you some examples from the Steal Back Your Vote guide, as well as you'll see it in the Rolling Stone, which is, for example, in the state of Colorado, Bobby and I covered that one in five voters, 19.4% of voters, have been purged from the voter rolls. Purged. Now, the New York Times ran a story about how some of them were purged within an illegal period 90 days before the election. And today, Colorado's knocked off another 6,400 voters, all young voters, in other words, Obama voters, in the ultimate swing state. Colorado is going to be the Florida-Ohio of 2008. Mark my words, write it down right now.
Colorado.
New Mexico, Nevada are the three steals.
Well, in fact, you basically start the Rolling Stone article about what happened in New Mexico when even the supervisor of elections went to vote and his name was mysteriously missing.
Yep, the supervisor of elections, Paul Mays. Go to stealbackyourvote.org. You can actually see a film of this guy. Now, why was he the election supervisor purged? Well, he's in one of the poorest counties. He obviously has a Hispanic surname. He drives a school bus in the morning. His name's missing, and he said it was from these purge methods that are being used under something called the Help America Vote Act.
Yeah, one of those. I'm sorry. It's like George Bush's Clean Air Act, which does anything but clean up the air. Like No Child Left Behind, which is leaving behind more kids. It's like George Bush must have somebody working there and say, what is the most ridiculous name we can come up with for this program, which will do the exact opposite of what we're trying to accomplish.
Right. So he's helping us vote, him and Karl Rove.
Right.
And so that's why when Bush is helping us vote, our response is we better steal back our vote now. So we give you advice. If you're in Colorado, the chance is 1 in 5 your name won't be there. If you're in Florida, 85,000 of you are going to show up to voting polls in the next couple weeks and find out that your name ain't there or you are marked inactive or have another mark against your name. There are things you can do.
What?
Like the first thing is, vote right now if you're in Florida, if you're in
Monday.
Indiana.
Early voting starts in Florida this coming Monday.
This Monday. Okay, so we say one of the things is vote early, vote often. That is, what we want you to do is if you go in and vote now, you can, your name isn't there, that gives you an opportunity to come back to scream about it and try to demand a real ballot.
And fix it between the day early voting starts and November 4th.
That's right. And if you try to do it on November 4th, you're in trouble. In fact, don't think of early, don't think of voting anymore like Christmas, that it's on a certain day. Think of it as like Hanukkah. You've got like 8 days to get in there and vote, because if you're challenged, you can come back. You can challenge the challenge. You have time to do it. If you get the Steal Back Your Vote comic book, 24 full-color pages with the insane penman work of Ted Rahl and Lucas Kettner and Lloyd Dangle. Spread it around, download a copy, spread that around. We'll have an 800 number in there, voter protection number. Now, one of the things we want to protect you from is we say not only vote early, vote often, don't go postal. I know a lot of people want to mail in their ballot because they say,
and I need to address this with you because there's even a special thing down here. But Wednesday night I'm taking my daughter to soccer and my cell phone rings and says, hi, I'm calling for Obama from Obama for America. Can we count on your vote November 4th? I said, absolutely. She said, you can vote by mail. And I said, no, you don't want to tell people that. And especially, something you may not be aware of, here in Broward County, Florida, which is a very Democratic county, on the absentee ballot return envelopes, they print your party affiliation.
Yes, they do.
So it's right there on the envelope.
And in Broward County, here's an example. You asked for an absentee ballot last time. 50,000 absentee ballots in Broward County were sent to the voters too late to return. Now, if you ask for an absentee ballot, knuckleheads, and it comes in too late, you can't then go into the voting booth and say, oh, hey, listen, I didn't get a chance to get my ballot in on time. They'll say, you already asked for an absentee, you're toast. If you did ask for an absentee, you can't undo it. Now you've got to, but you have to walk it in to to your county elections officials. This is true everywhere in the country. Vote in person. The reason
you see,
is
I was told Greg Palast with us here on the Tom Hartman Show. I was told something different. What I was told is you can take that to an early voting location.
Yes, you can.
Turn
you can
it in. They will nullify the ballot and give you a new in-person ballot so you can vote. You don't have to go to the supervisor elections office, but you go to an early voting place with your absentee ballot in hand, say, I want to turn this in, I want you to cancel it out, and I want a ballot so I can vote in person today.
Which you can do in Florida. Some states you can't, so I say go to the Board of Elections,
mm-hmm.
your supervisor, because you can always early vote there, by the way, even in Florida.
Really?
Now, the thing is that we want you to vote in person for another reason. New voters, hello, new voters out there. You've signed that registration form, and you're going to mail in your ballot. Did you remember to include a photocopy of your ID? If you're a first-time voter, in most states, in most instances, you've got to include a photocopy of your ID, and they've got to like it. Not only include it in the ballot. I had a Florida voter that lost their vote already because they included a photocopy of their ID with the ballot in the same envelope. Can't do that. You put it in the same envelope, but you put it in a separate envelope inside that envelope.
Oh, my God.
Is this getting too nuts for you?
Oh, my God. This is the most...
Don't do it. Don't lick that stamp. Put down that stamp. No one gets hurt, Nicole. Now, listen. Go to stealbackyourvote.org for the Tom Hartman, Greg Palast RFK comic book that tells you how they're stealing it, how you can steal back. Yeah, you can also get the Rolling Stone edition, but it doesn't give you the steal back stuff.
Right.
Stealbackyourvote.org. Then go and get bulk orders of the actual comic book. They are cool. They're
yes,
really
they
beautiful.
Are.
They're
I've
really nice.
Got it in front of me, and it's wonderful, and it's easy to read, and it's interesting, and it's educational, and it's got important information that every single one of us needs to digest and be able to share with others.
You got it. And you can, if you get the download version, you can pass it on. We're not restricting. It's not copyright. You take that thing, you get it around, you get it out, and it will tell you, especially the two pages that give you the seven ways to steal back your vote, but all the stories about how they're this woman who is purging the vote in Colorado, the 1 in 5 voter, she was named, you'll love this, to this U.S. Elections Commission as chairwoman by Bush.
Of course she was.
And you know what? In fact, he was going to call her the Purge in General, but Rose said that'd be a little too obvious. That's one of our bad jokes from Steal Back Your Vote, the comic book.
Okay, now what about Steal Back America or Steal Back Your Vote, the movie?
That's you can download our right now. You can download the Steal Back Your Vote, the BBC short version. We're having a longer version coming out next week. We're giving that one away free just to get you to download the comic book so you will know what you have to do to steal back your vote.
All right. Well, this is such important stuff, and I love that you're everywhere. You're in Rolling Stone, the issue that hits stores today.
Today.
You got the comic book. It's free. Print it out. Get hard copies. Give them out. But the most important thing is make sure that your vote counts. Just don't be complacent. Don't think, okay, I voted, I mailed it in. Do not do that. Be educated. Education is, knowledge is power.
Okay, now we do ask, the film is free, we ask people to make a donation for the comic book. You can get as many copies as you want, but it has to be at least a penny.
Okay.
And can you, do you got a penny? You
got a penny?
Comic book. That's all
got
we need.
All
okay,
because
we want to keep track of who's coming in on this.
Oh,
so we can get you updates and information.
Greg Palast, thank you for doing the work you're doing. You are a muckraker in the best tradition, and we need more like you.
Okay, I'll come and muck your rake anytime you want.
All right. Look forward to it. Greg Palast, gregpalast.com, stealbackyourvote.org, on the Tom Hartman Show here on Air America Radio. We'll talk again soon.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For full show podcasts with no commercial interruption, get Air America on demand. Sign up now at airamerica.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program on airamerica.com.
Oh, yes, and that means you on the phones at 866-303-2270. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live from Miami, Florida. I blog and I podcast daily at radioornot.com, and I see a lot of people are signing up for the message board, and that's a wonderful thing, so thank you for that. And thank you to Tom Hartman again for allowing me to sit in his proverbial seat, even though it's many thousands of miles away, and fill in for him. He's got mighty big shoes to fill, and I don't make any pretenses that I can. Just, bring what I bring to it, which is a great curiosity and a sort of disgust about where this country has gone in the last 8 years, and the ability to ask questions and engage in discourse with you. In a little while, we're going to speak with a guy named John LeBoutelier, who I met many years ago when I was just a young broadcaster in New York, and I worked on the Bob Grant show. You know Bob Grant? He was Rush Limbaugh before there was a Rush Limbaugh. He's still doing it in New York at WABC. And I was his producer. I was 21 years old, and I didn't agree with him ideology-wise. I always have trouble saying that word. But I learned a lot. And through him, I met this guy who was a congressman who was about as right-wing nutty as they come. And we crossed paths again. I ran across his blog. He writes a column for Newsmax. And this happened a few months ago, and I had him on my then radio show. And I've had him on my podcast since then. And he is a true conservative who thinks John McCain is the worst possible candidate and would make a terrible president. And Sarah Palin just magnified that. So I've sort of made it my goal to get him to vote for Barack Obama. Right now he says he's going to vote for Bob Barr, the Libertarian candidate. So maybe you'll help me convince John LeBoutelier. We'll just spend a couple of minutes with him and have some fun with him. In the meantime, let's get back to the phones and talk to you, Paula, in Carbondale, Illinois. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Show.
Thank you. I've been listening to you talk about election fraud for a couple hours. Unfortunately, I went outside and missed the Green Party person that called, but I heard the anti-Green Party guy and how they called, and you and he kind of casually trashed the Green Party.
Hold on a second, Paula. I'll let you say what you want to say, but I did not trash the Green Party. I think what they stand for is great, and I'm probably more aligned with them philosophically than the Democratic Party. But they need to be there 24/7 every week, every month out of the year, and not just at election time. They need to organize. They need to be a force.
Well, we are here 24/7. If the corporate media doesn't cover it, doesn't mean it doesn't, happen.
Okay.
But I would like to say about Cynthia McKinney, who was a congressman, not my congressman. She investigated election fraud way back in 2000, and she's now our candidate for president. And if your listeners would look up Democracy Now! Yesterday, she and Ralph Nader were on about the election, the debates that happened the night before, whereas my senator, who I voted for once and never will again, Senator Obama, when he was asked about Acorn, this is voter fraud, which is individual fraud. Election fraud, which is what you and Greg Palast were talking about, which is where you steal the election, is different than individual person maybe voting, one person voting twice or where they shouldn't vote or something. And the only person that discussed this was Cynthia McKinney. She brought up election fraud. She said it's wrong to turn election fraud into a poor person or a person of color's problem when it's the Republican Party that's stealing.
Well, it is the Republican Party, but that's who they're mostly targeting, because they know that poor people, people of color, people in, inner city areas are more likely to vote Democratic, because that's voting in their own best interest. I'm sorry, when I see someone who's struggling to get by and they vote Republican, I just want to shake them and say, why are you voting against your own best interest? So that's where it happens most. But yes, it is a problem with the Republicans. It's something they are doing day in and day out, trying to make sure your vote doesn't count. And that's why I wanted to call attention to it today, to make sure you're armed with all the tools you need to make sure your vote does count. I'm Nicole Sandler from RadioNot.com on the Tom Hartman Show. We'll be back with more of your calls and more fun, I hope, in moments. Stay tuned, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
I'm Graham Parker. Welcome to Air America Radio.
This is your home for progressive talk.
AirAmerica.com. Now, back to the Tom Hartman Program on AirAmerica.com.
Well, now, what exactly happened? See, here...
I thought I was doing my part to save the economy. And then later I get to think, maybe I'm just not important enough.
Can I give you an answer?
Please.
I screwed up.
Finally, it takes this for John McCain to tell the truth about something. Finally, I screwed up. Hey, John, why'd you pick Sarah Palin? I screwed up. Yeah, no, they got into that, too. David Letterman finally got John McCain back there last night, and it was tough on him. And you know what? I will post the video on my blog from that as well today at RadioOrNot.com. I am Nicole Sandler, sitting in for Tom Hartman today, and I appreciate him giving me this chance to do so. I've got you on the phones at 866-303-2270, and we'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes, but I have someone else on the phone. I mentioned him briefly before. It's a man that I met. Boy, John, it's going back 25 years or so already, when I was just a young, impressionable, young broadcaster just out of college, working in New York at WMCA, producing Bob Grant's show, and you were at that time a newly former congressman. I think I have the timeline right there. John LeBoutillier,
correct,
with
Nicole.
Us here.
Yes, and I was substituting for Bob Grant. I was like his main substitute on WMCA all during the late 80s, and you were the producer or the board operator, whatever they called it. And
I was the producer.
And
if I remember correctly, I mean, you were even further to the right than Bob was. And didn't you have some cockamamie idea about setting up some kind of a leper colony for prisoners or something?
Well, I had actually what I had advocated in office and submitted a bill was to take U.S. military bases that were no longer being used and convert them to prisons for rapists, murderers, kidnappers who, if we're not going to have the death penalty, then get them the hell out of the prison system where they hurt other people and move them up there.
Hmm.
And I still actually think that's good because there's a big controversy over whether we ought to execute people, but there seems to be no controversy over whether we ought to punish them.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of crimes, you do not get a chance, in my view, to be rehabilitated for murder, raping children, things like that.
That's actually, that makes more sense today than it did all those years ago, and maybe you're I don't know, you're cushioning it a little bit. I just remember it as being pretty out there.
Well, I was out there, but I had advocated, because in the district that I represented, there had been a horrendous crime in a diner on Glen Cove Road in Long Island, where these guys came in and did some horrible things to people in the diner in the middle of the night, put shotguns up their rear ends, shot them, and raped people. I did just awful stuff, and it was an outrageous deal. And as you know, especially in the cities, the crime is just sometimes just out of control, and nothing seems to ever get done about it. So.
But John LeBoutillier, the reason I wanted to talk to you today, I just wanted to establish your very conservative credentials.
Correct.
And that hasn't changed. You are now a columnist for Newsmax, which, again, is about as right as it gets.
Right.
And but you are not a John McCain, Sarah Palin fan, are you?
No, I am not. I'm anti-McCain. I've known John McCain for 34 years, and I know him quite well. I've dealt with him on one specific issue, which is where I got to know him, the issue of American prisoners of war left behind at the end of the war in Vietnam and Laos. And that's an issue you would think he'd be on the right side of.
You would think so, yet he got into some shouting matches with people who were trying to get information on these prisoners. I mean, you Google those hearings back then, and you want to talk about somebody who's truly despicable, especially knowing what his background is. All right, so you've got some very out there, you know, very real differences with John McCain. That said, you have admitted to me that you will not vote for him.
No, I will admit it publicly. I would never vote for John McCain. I don't want him to be commander-in-chief of this country because of that issue. I've seen how he handled intelligence information brought to him from the Pentagon, from the DIA, from the CIA, from the NSA, National Security Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he treated it, by debunking it, trashing it, ordering it thrown out and destroyed, is so disingenuous and dishonest that if he would treat that issue that way as a senator, he does not have the right to be the commander-in-chief of all our troops. I couldn't stand the thought of it.
Okay, and I agree with you on that. There are other reasons as well that I don't trust him or like him or would want him in that position. What about John McCain is 72 years old? He won't release his medical records, so we really don't know how his health is, but he's 72 years old and has had health problems in the past. And as his running mate, he chose Sarah Palin. You feel confident in her ability to take over if his 72-year-old heart gives out?
No, I think she's a joke. I just think that was one of the most stupid decisions he's ever made. And I wouldn't be surprised if in private already he has probably realized that this thing, it started out well for the first 10 days.
Yeah, well, she looks good. I mean, right out of central casting. What more could you ask for? She's beautiful. She's got a good-looking family. It doesn't matter what the story is there.
Nicole, you know, someone said this to me yesterday, and it was a great statement, that she is exactly the kind of girl that a fighter pilot would be attracted to.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a story in last week's issue of Rolling Stone magazine called The Make-Believe Maverick.
Right.
Must reading. In fact, I'm linking to that from my blog today as well at radioornot.com. It tells the true story of John McCain, the supposed hero, and his fighting record and what he did and how he flew, instead of going to the Middle East in his younger days, he flew down to Rio. And when somebody that he served with asked why he would go there, he said, because you can get laid in Rio.
Right. Oh, yeah. I read that article, and that was a good piece. But that John McCain, age 27 and 8, You would think she'd be different at age 72, but
in fact, it's
the same guy. It's this guy who got turned on by a hot-looking chick from Alaska who talks tough.
Well, even the day that he introduced her, there's that famous video, and you see him definitely just checking out her butt.
Oh, yeah. And then you notice another thing that was in either that article or something else I read, where whenever they're together, and Cindy, his wife, is there, too, and he's standing behind Sarah Palin, and she's giving the introductory speech. He's always fooling around with his wedding ring. So he's got his right hand over on the wedding ring, turning it around, pulling it up and down. It's almost like psychologically he's thinking, man, I wish I didn't have this ring on.
Well, bottom line, John LeBoutelier, conservative, Republican, and patriot, you know that McCain-Palin would be the wrong thing for this country. Who are you voting for?
I'll probably vote for the Libertarian.
How can you do that?
Excuse me?
How can you do that? Because you know that Bob Barr has no chance of winning.
Well, I know, but I can't. I don't. And I've got nothing against Obama personally.
Okay, then why won't you vote for him, knowing that a vote for Bob Barr is essentially really a vote for John McCain?
Well, not really. It's not a vote for John McCain. I'm a Republican, so if I vote for anybody else, it's a subtraction from McCain. It's a vote he should have gotten that he's not getting. Now, Obama's not getting it, but McCain's not getting it.
Why not?
Because I can't vote for someone that liberal.
But he's not that liberal. You know what? Dennis Kucinich is liberal. Barack Obama is pretty right down the middle, as is Hillary Clinton. He and Clinton are so closely aligned on the issues that there are a number of people that I can point out. I mean, I lean more liberal. I would have liked to see Dennis Kucinich get in there.
Right.
I like those policies. Those are liberal, progressive policies, whatever you want to call them. Barack Obama is pretty mainstream in his policies.
Well, he might be. He's pretty mainstream in the Democratic Party. But to me, even the whole Democratic Party is a little too far out there. You know. But look, I got nothing against the guy. I wish him well. I do not want McCain. That's my contribution here. I don't want McCain to be president. He is not suited to be the commander-in-chief of our wonderful soldiers and airmen and all that. He shouldn't be it. And then Sarah Palin is an absolute affront to any thinking person in this country who says, you know, the vice president might be president. I mean, how could
a woman... knowing that, a vote for Bob Barr, you know he's not going to get in. You know it's either going to be John McCain or Barack Obama.
Right.
Knowing that a McCain presidency would be really a disaster for this country, because chances are it's going to be a Palin presidency. There's a very good chance that could happen. And even if it's a McCain presidency, that's not a whole hell of a lot better than a Palin presidency. Why wouldn't you do everything in your power to assure that that doesn't happen? And right now, that's a vote for Barack Obama.
Well, if we want to get technical, I live, as you know, in New York, which Obama's ahead by 20 points in. Mm-hmm. So whether I vote for Obama or not isn't going to make a difference.
All right, so you just want to register a protest vote.
I haven't voted for a Republican for president. I voted for Dole because I thought he was a good man. But all the others since Reagan left, I voted Libertarian every time because I'm disgusted with the Bushes and the way they've ruined everything, and I can't vote for McCain for the reasons we've talked about.
Okay. So what about Ron Paul? Would you have liked to have seen him get in?
Well, Ron Paul...
He's a Libertarian. I don't know why he wasn't the Libertarian candidate.
Well, because he wanted to run for re-election of the House. And I know Ron Paul. We were in the House together, and he's a good human being. He's a terrible TV candidate. So he wasn't able to really articulate a message that, by the way, has a lot in tune with what you might like, believe it or not. I mean, for instance, on the war, I share his opinion completely. The war in Iraq.
Well, for you.
The Libertarian point of view was the war, how can we justify a preemptive invasion of a country that didn't attack us?
Yeah, you can't.
That's crazy.
This whole thing has been insane.
It's been insane. So there's a case where the left and the right are in total agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the new right, these neocon jerks who started to take over the Republican Party and ruin the whole thing. And they're going to get their comeuppance on November 4th, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. John Leboutelier, you know, we also have another friend in common, somebody who, after I left WMCA, went to work with Jim Kerr, who was then at WPLJ in New York. You need to have a talk with him because he needs to understand some of this stuff. You and I are in a lot more agreement than I would have ever thought we would be 25 years later. So I'm glad to hear that. And given that you're in New York, and New York is going to go for Obama anyway, all right, I guess I won't waste my energy trying to convert you.
And by the way, you're in Miami, I know.
And, yes.
I see McCain is in Miami giving a speech
right
now.
He is. He's at FIU right now. And, yeah.
And that tells us a lot about how his campaign views what trouble he's in. If a Republican has to be in Florida 2 weeks left in the campaign, while Obama is in all these Republican states, stealing those states away, it tells you, just by geography, that McCain's going to lose this thing.
Well, I hope so. We just have to make sure every vote counts, and that's what I've been concentrating on today. John Leboutelier, always a pleasure to talk to you. I'll get you back on my podcast again at RadioOrNot.com soon.
And, Nicole, we need to get you a national syndicated daily radio show. You're a wonderful host, and you should be on. People love you and would love to hear you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep. And America, my friend Mark Green needs to know that.
Okay, well, you go tell him.
I will.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. John Leboutelier with us here on the Tom Hartman Show on Air America Radio, where I'm honored to just be here for today. You don't know. This is like, I'm like a kid in a candy shop. It's making champagne out of those lemons, if you know what I mean. We'll come back and wrap things up with more of your calls on the Tom Hartman Show in just moments. 866-303-2270. Speak to you then.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is your home for progressive talk. AirAmerica.com.
Home stretch, and boy, this 3 hours has flown by. I'm Nicole Sandler in for Tom Hartman today, and just having a blast. This is more fun than you know. Thank you to David Quigg, who emailed to correct me earlier on. I think in the first hour I mentioned Joe the Plumber and his connection to Charles Keating, which apparently Andrew Sullivan over at The Atlantic on his blog said, now it appears that Joe the Plumber is not related to Charles Keating. And he apologized for the link that he's deleted, and I apologize for getting something wrong. And you know what? I'm occasionally wrong, and I admit it. I don't like being wrong. Sometimes it's hard to admit. But damn it, when I'm right, I'm going to scream it to the treetops. And, well, you heard John Leboutelier say that we got to make sure John McCain is not elected. And all we need to do at this point is make sure our votes count. So, again, I hope you'll visit my blog today or, you know, any time in the future. I'm going to put all the info, links and websites and information you need that on what we covered today, how to get a hold of Greg Palast and Ion Sancho and all that information. All right, we got a few more minutes, so let's get back to the phones and talk to Alan in Miami. Hi, Alan. You're on the Tom Hartman Show with Nicole.
Hello, Nicole. It's good to hear your voice again on the radio. I'm sorry. I was used to getting up in the morning and hearing that. It's good to hear you back.
Thank you.
I was hoping to make a comment about when Greg was on, but I may as well do it anyway. I was looking through his comic book also, and I was wondering why. One of the suggestions is not there. I don't know if it's possible, but to have like a national registry of people whose registration was questioned or not allowed, whether it be a phone number or perhaps a website where you can put in, you know, all the details of where you went, who you spoke to, what your name is, what your registration information you wrote in, someplace that it can be looked at afterwards to see the number of people who were refused.
You know what? That's a great idea. And Greg Palast is out there enough that maybe that's something he and Bobby Kennedy could spearhead.
Yeah, I left a message on the phone number that they list on that mm-hmm. Steal Your Vote site. So I thought I'd try at least double the chance of this being heard.
Right.
And I'm going to check with some people who work with websites like I do and see if, you know, what might maybe something like that can be done.
Let's do it. I mean, those are the we should also investigate why the exit polling company, one who puts forth all this information, just modifies their exit poll data to match the returns they're getting in, when they should be raising eyebrows and saying there's something fishy here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things we should be doing, but that's a great suggestion. Alan, thank you for calling. I really appreciate it. Deborah in Beaverton, Oregon, you get the award for holding on the longest time today.
Hi. I'm going to try and do this really quickly.
Okay.
And the reason that I want to do this about Joe the Plumber is so that everybody out there can understand about the income thing. I used to be married to a plumber. So if you take $500,000 in income, I'm talking about net profit, okay, and you have five employees in that company, and that eats up $260,000 in salaries or in payments to them. Now you're down below the $250,000 that is the limit. Plus you've got all the other deductions that go along with businesses. So the idea that Joe the Plumber, who is not Joe the Plumber, would actually be getting charged more taxes is ridiculous. I just told you how a small business making $500,000 in net profit winds up below $250,000 just with the salaries.
Sure.
That's not including any insurance that the employer may pay for or anything else. That's all deductible from that amount.
I gotcha. And I agree. And yes, and Joe the Plumber, if his story was exactly as he's portraying it, which there are some questions there, would benefit greatly under the Obama plan, and he'd be in trouble under a McCain presidency. All right. Thank you for the call, Deborah. Appreciate the info. I think we have time for probably one more. Let's go to Chris in Ithaca, New York. Hi, you're on the Tom Hartman Show.
Hi, Nicole.
Yes.
I'm a first-time caller. I want to say that I agree with you completely that Tom Hartman is the most informative talk radio show host that I've ever encountered.
Great.
I also want to thank you for telling people they have to vote Democratic and not pursue that utopia of a 5%
mm-hmm.
Green Party. But anyway, I want to comment on a personality trait that I think Obama has that most of us lack. I don't think you or I are.
We've got about 30 seconds.
Excuse me?
We got about 30 seconds. So, what is it?
He does not engage in angry, righteous indignation. I've never seen him do that. And I think because of that character trait of his, which I would call grace, I think he really can change the tone of Washington.
I think you're absolutely right. And what a great note to end on. Thank you for the call. Thank you to Chris Rosen at the controls in New York, Stephanie on the phones, Tom Hartman's executive producer, Sean Taylor in Portland, and, of course, Tom Hartman, for giving me the chance to fill in for him, and the people at Air America who have graciously invited me to do this today. I had a blast, and thank you so much for joining me. Please check out my blog and my podcast at radioornot.com. I'm Nicole Sandler. This has truly been an honor and a great day. Thank you again, and hopefully we'll get the chance to talk again soon. All right, it is Air America Radio. Thanks a lot. Take care. And don't be complacent.